Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. Hi, guys. Hope you're having a wonderful day. If you're new here, a warm welcome. Thank you for checking out my channel. All I ask is that after listening to and or watching the video, if you find you enjoyed it or learned something, smash that like button and consider subscribing. Now, let's dig in. 13-year-old Madeline Soto disappeared on Monday, February 26 of 2024 in Kissimmee, Florida. And tragically, on March 1st, Maddie's body was found 22 miles from home, dumped in a tree line. Her so-called stepfather, Stephen Stearns, was arrested 2 days later on myriad charges related to the essay of Madeline and Child P. Maddie's mother, Jen Soto, told a reporter that Maddie was wearing a green hoodie, black shorts, and white Crocs when she went missing. However, we know from a crime scene image that was mistakenly posted by the police that Madeline was actually wearing blue jean shorts, a green hoodie, and white Crocs. Apparently, this detail is quite clear in that image. You'd think on the day that your 13-year-old daughter went missing, you'd A, know what she was wearing, especially when you told the police that you watched her getting dressed that morning, and B, you'd make sure 100% that you had those items correct before you shared them with the media. So why didn't Jen get that one detail right? Was she too overcome with fear that she misspoke? Or did someone else tell her what Maddie was wearing, namely Stephen Stearns? The timeline of what led up to Maddie's death is getting further refined with each passing day. So at 7:35 a.m., Stephen Stearns was captured on security camera footage, discarding Maddie's backpack and laptop in a dumpster in the gated condo community called Venetian Bay Villages, where Stearns, Jen Soto, and Madeline Soto lived together. Unfortunately, the angle of the security camera made it impossible to see if Maddie was in the car at that time. Then, at 8:10 a.m., a license plate reader captured Stephen Stearns' vehicle driving away from Hunters Creek Middle School. That was Maddie's middle school. Why was Stearns at Maddie's school at 8:10 a.m.? When the school doesn't open until between 9:30 and 9:40 a.m., who takes their 13-year-old daughter to school an hour and 20 minutes early and then drops them off at a church nearby and then drives away without making sure that child gets into the school safely? At 8:19 a.m., Stearns is seen returning to the Venetian Bay Villages complex, and this is when Maddie was seen in his car, and the police believe Maddie was deceased at that time. Again, this most likely means that a deceased Maddie was in Stearns' car at 7:35 a.m. and at 8:10 a.m. It's being said that he returned to the apartment complex at 8:19 a.m. to pick up a clicker that would allow him to enter the complex via the back gate where there were no security guards. 5 hours later, between 1 p.m. and 2:30 p.m., Stephen Stearns is spotted 22 miles away changing a tire on his car. And on March 1st, Maddie's body was found just 30 feet away from that spot where Stearns was changing the tire. In my opinion, Stearns was clearly intent on setting up a story to make it look like he dropped off a living Maddie at school and that whatever horrors befell the child occurred after the drop-off. Unfortunately for Stephen Stearns, it seems to be both a story and behaviors that were hastily planned and not all that well thought out. It doesn't seem like he took the time to scope out the security cameras in the complex or the license plate reader near the middle school. This is why I'm convinced that this was not a premeditated crime. I think it happened in the moment, things got out of control, and something bad happened. The mystery right now is that we don't know for sure where or how Maddie died. To me, it looks like it was in her own home. However, it's possible Stearns kidnapped Maddie in the early morning hours, took her away from the condo, and something happened elsewhere. I suppose it's also possible that she didn't make it home from the birthday party. But then Jen Soto said that she spoke to Maddie about the party and all her gifts. It's unclear what, if anything, Jen Soto knows. Jen herself said that she saw Maddie getting dressed at 8 a.m. that morning. But this doesn't make sense in light of the camera footage that spotted Stephen Stearns in various places that morning. Remember, Stephen Stearns was already dumping Madeline's belongings at 7:35 a.m., so it seems likely that she was already deceased. This definitely makes Jen Soto look suspicious. By the way, according to Court TV, if Maddie died at home versus away from home during a kidnapping, that will decide whether or not this is a capital case, meaning a death penalty case. Moving on to Stephen Stearns' jailhouse calls, it's come out that on March 1st, the same day Maddie's body was found, Stephen, who had already been arrested on all those various SA and Child P charges, dialed a 210 area code number. That's a San Antonio, Texas number. The talk time was just 0 seconds. And then on March 3rd at 5:15 p.m., he dialed a number in Orlando, Florida, and the talk time again was 0 seconds. According to Court TV, that number came back to his own name, but they also said that he spoke to his father, Chris, so I'm a tad confused. But other than those calls, there have been no calls back and forth between his family or between Jen Soto. So it sounds like Stephen Stearns is pretty well isolated in his jail cell. We also know that he's being represented by a public defender, so his family hasn't ponied up with a private defense attorney, at least not yet. Now, there's going to be a press conference today at 11 a.m. I can't wait to hear what comes out during that press conference. I'll be sure to let you guys know later today. Until the next time on Bed Crime Stories.